good afternoon, good evening, wherever you be in the world. This is Ralph Kermit Winterroad II with the Ralph Winterroad Show, coming to you live out of Alaska. And we actually got a little snow today again, but it's not going to last. We're up in the 40s now, so we're getting there. Joe in Iowa, I guess. I've never had anybody be on hold before I got the show started. What's up, Joe?
Yep.
Hello?
Hello.
I haven't even got started on the subject. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to listen to the program again tonight. I've got an email in to you from a couple weeks ago waiting for an answer to see how many corrupt judges we got up there in Fairbanks.
We don't have any constitutional judges in Alaska. How's that?
Well, I believe that.
Listen to the show today, and you're going to start to get an understanding of what a 14th Amendment citizen is all about. It's not a pretty picture.
Yep, I realize that. Yeah, Tower Hill is trying to take our land that's been in our family for over 100 years away from us.
Are you in Alaska?
I'm from Iowa, but our land is east of Livengood.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be taking on the Matsu Borough, because they're going to try to make me homeless this year. So,
You might want to
stay tuned, because I got to take on the bar and a judge that ain't a judge, and a bar that's taking over the system, and oh, God, it's just the way we're in. How deep does this rabbit hole go?
It's got a big hole, I'll tell you.
Well, I'm going to try to throw some light on that today.
Okay, good.
Okay? Thanks for listening.
You bet.
I just want to make a brief comment. I haven't got to the end of it yet. I read the brief. I follow briefs all over, in Pacer and stuff. And I was looking to Chris Kyle, the American sniper, and his wife filed in against Ventura in Minnesota. And it's looking like, because of the improper jury instructions, that Ventura was awarded a settlement when he shouldn't have. Now, that's what it looks like initially, because they've got preponderance of evidence and clear and convincing evidence screwed up. They got in the jury instructions, and that's really important. What level? Because preponderance of evidence, it's a real low standard in civil, and clear and convincing evidence is the highest level in civil. And the judge didn't give the proper instructions, and it does look like Ventura made some disparaging comments, which I actually put there. Most of them are true, unfortunately. But they were, if according to the witnesses, he did. And with that, in fact, because they were there in a mourning for a SEAL that had been killed, Mark, that was in the movie, that's not an appropriate place to be making disparaging remarks about a fellow SEAL that's been killed. You know, that's not appropriate. So, I don't know. I'm waiting, going to be waiting until the end of April to see what Ventura has to say. You know, it's public figures, it's really hard to prove anything that you say about them, because if they did, we'd have Congress and the president be in jail right now. That's all those guys do up there is lie. Or they wouldn't know the truth if we walked up and bit them in the tush. So, anyway, with that said, I want to get into some more amazing stuff. I mean, this, it just seems like you think that nothing can be there, but I've got to pull a case up here. It just came upstairs. But it is absolutely astounding what's going on. It's just we have been hoodwinked and lied to, which is surprise, surprise. I don't think anybody, that would probably shock anybody. You listen to a politician, and if you can find any truth in most of them, what they're saying, they're always speaking out of one corner of the mouth or the other. But I got to find this case here. It is absolutely astounding case, and it's amazing that that they print this stuff. I guess they, I don't know. I guess you can get around and say they think they've what shall I say here? They've screwed us so bad that we would never figure this out. And that's probably true. It's really difficult to put all these pieces together, but it is coming together in just absolute mind-boggling thing. I can't find the case where I put it. Well, I'll get around and look at it, but I'll start talking about it anyway here until I figure out where I put it. I do that occasionally. I put stuff in a place, and then I can't figure out where I put it. So it must be a good case, right? Or what can I say? You know, I got about 250 gigabytes, and there's so many aspects of this stuff today that it's just absolutely amazing trying to keep it all straight and find it. I know how I can find this. I'll go back in my, I'll look what I emailed. I emailed it to somebody here, and I'll go look and see where I sent him the email and get the name of the case again. I can't remember the name. I did not have a good understanding of citizen of the United States, citizen of the several states, the jurisdictional questions. I thought I did. But what can I say? You know, you just have to keep looking to what you think you thought you know that's true, and then you go look and find out, well, guess what, it's not so. And this case is a NEILD versus the District of Columbia. And it's 110F2D246. And it was done in 1940. And it's still true today. There's some changes that have been made, of course, in the game, but it's still there. So there are a couple of things that they came up with in here that I started to understand is, does the 14th Amendment in 14 Stat 27 in 1866 that said a citizen of the United States is somebody that wants to have the same rights as a white citizen? It was done for the Negroes. It there's a reason why they did it. It's codified today, by the way. You can find it in the United States Code very easily. It's 42 U.S.C. 1981, 1982, and 1988. 42 U.S.C. 1981, 82, and 88. Imagine having the same rights as a white citizen. So they got around and they memorialized it in the 14th Amendment in 1868, 2 years later. Then they waited two more years, which now I have a much better, greater understanding of the plenary power of Congress over immigration, which is why Arizona lost that case down there and tried to control it, internal revenue, commerce between the several states. Those are plenary powers of Congress inside of D.C., 10 miles square. But in 1870, because Congress has the plenary power of immigration, they didn't need to create the fictitious citizen of the United States for the forest naturalization. Because they got around and said in 1870, oh, by the way, y'all black folk could come in and be naturalized just like white folk. Well, isn't that just special? Why are you 2 years after the 14th Amendment? Duh. Whoever has put this scheme together is brilliant. And I think it's got to be the principalities of evil, because it is done over such a length of time, and it's just like clockwork when you start to. And what's amazing is some of these different things I've researched out back in 2004, 2006. I found them. I knew they were important, but I didn't know what to do with them. Didn't have a big enough picture. So anyways, this case talks about, does the 14th Amendment, does it have application in the people that live inside of the 10-mile square District of Columbia? And the answer is no. Well, what does it have application on? It has application upon the states that are outside of the District of Columbia. This was their way to make the states abide by no slavery by creating a fictitious citizen of the United States within them. So the 14th Amendment is against the states, to make the states quit having that. And then in that, they created a citizen of the United States, which everybody's always talking about, the 14th Amendment citizen. Well, just stop and think about this for a minute. If you're a citizen of the United States, outside, and you're domiciled in one of the several states, first of all the juries in Alaska, every federal jury, they always have to sit the jury. Usually they don't say, is everybody here? They say, is anybody here not a citizen of the United States? I guarantee you, if you go into up here in the jury pool and they bring that up and you raise your hand and you go up and talk to the judge, they will excuse you because they know the game. But what is it? We don't know what it is and understand it, and we can't use applications in situations where they're trapping us. And that is a major issue. And the case, got to find that one too. I don't know, I'm having trouble today here finding my cases. But anyway, the other case that I found that I used to find out what a citizen of the United States is outside of the District of Columbia, it's under the Public Rights Doctrine. And I said, now wait a minute here. What is the Public Rights Doctrine? I found some information on that in 2006, but I didn't know what to do with it. I knew I was onto something again, but you don't know what to do with it. Well, I got around and said, well, okay, so what is this thing? What is this thing? And this is an amazing case where they went into talking about the Public Rights Doctrine, which started in 1856 with the Murray Leacy case, in the District of Columbia and Territories and Possessions. And in that case, in that jurisdiction, Public Rights Doctrine, it is someone that has, supposedly knowingly, but it has surrendered, has accepted a benefit. And I tied that into the Babcock case. When you have accepted a benefit, you then supposedly knowingly have abandoned all rights to any constitutional court remedy. You've walked away. Now, that's an amazing statement. Who in his right mind would do that knowingly? I mean, if we don't have a remedy in a constitutional court with individual rights, we got a problem, you think? Now, stop and think about this for a minute. This 14th Amendment citizen, as everybody calls it, which is someone that has a fictitious status, that has accepted a benefit. And this is confirmed, by the way, in the tax court. Our remedy, Congress said, our remedy as a citizen of the United States is to go to tax court. What does tax court adjudicate? Public Rights Doctrine. They've got cases. They admit it. We have tested the tax court by putting in take judicial notice of the statutes of the United States, and they will get around and strike it in two different cases. One is Curtis Lyson out of D.C., another is Nix out of Florida. Isn't that amazing? Oh, Public Rights Doctrine. Now, wait a minute. That is not what I thought I was going to tax court for. Should I go to tax court? Absolutely. Well, we're going to have a lot of fun with those guys in there. That's your only remedy, because you don't want to fight the horse race after the race has been won. You want to fight it before it gets started. And they cannot take judicial notice. So let's go back to a citizen of the United States, which is a 14th Amendment citizen, which is created for the Negroes initially, a fiction in law, to control the states. Now, this tax court case, I'm going to find that case here, too. When I find it here, I'll get it pulled up in a minute here. didn't get home soon enough. I was doing some other research because I got some amazing information. This is just getting beyond belief of how to prove what these guys are doing. And they're telling us. That's what's even amazing. And this case out of D.C., as soon as I find it, they got around and lined out the tax court cases that they were talking about. In that case, I said, wait a minute here. This can't be right. This just cannot be right. And sure enough, it's absolutely right on point. I just could not believe it. I'll get to it here in a minute here. I'm coming down to it. So I started reading these public rights cases. And they gave me a roadmap. They were so proud of it in the District of Columbia in the appellate court. So, getting back to the thing, they created a fictitious citizen of the United States that is binding on the states, and the states, to make it work, then agreed to give us this fictitious, because they say the 14th, everybody born in the United States. Well, of course, they've redefined the United States. Got to be real careful. Excuse me. They're always redefining words for different terms. The United States should be only where it is the union of the foreign states, the sovereign, grown-up several states that got together and formed for a more perfect union, the Constitution of the United States. But they don't do that. The United States, they operate under the territorial boundaries. You'll see one of that. And it includes the District of Columbia. District of Columbia cannot be included in any legislation that has to do with the several states, because the District of Columbia, Congress has plenary power. They have two positions in D.C. They have one of the national government, they have one of the several states. Outside, they only can legislate where land has been ceded. And then we have the several states. I'll be back in a minute. Later.
Your money. What is it worth today? A $100 bill in 1913 is worth only $2 today. So now, your money is just about worthless, and the Fed will continue printing more and more of it. But what if you could turn it around, $1 at a time, and make your money worth more than it is now? How? By acquiring gold before your paper money is totally worthless. But how can you afford gold at today's prices? By buying it 1 gram at a time. And this is so important because gold is the future. For as little as $65, you can begin trading your almost worthless currency for something real, something you can hold. Carat bars, which keep their value, can be stored securely, and are easily accessible, just like a savings account, but a savings account backed by your gold. Carat Bars International, a savings account you can count on. For more information, please click on the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. Again, that's the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. And start saving now.
Want something different from your detox? Then you want Hemp USA's Microplant Powder for a full body detox. With 7 formulations and 8 different sizes, you will feel and see the difference. And the best part? It's only about $10 a month. Our customers love it, and we ship worldwide. Get the detox difference. Get Microplant Powder from HempUSA.org. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at HempUSA.org.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
Okay, we're back here, and that other case, I'm going to give the case number. If you're on the IRS list, or you've already probably seen these, but if you're not, if you want these two cases, I really highly recommend getting them, and I will send them out today. This other one is 755F3D929, 755F3D929, 2014. They are so proud of this stuff. I mean, it's just undang believable. Now, I have, and I put out on, John in Minnesota allowed me to use his name, and I put out a stuff on his case, and document 81 is a monumental, God, I can't imagine. I've got just in public rights probably 20, 30 hours of reading cases, and but getting to the summary so that, can't talk legal stuff because you can't see it, you can't read it. Can you get the concepts down? So let me give you an overview concept. This is a mind twist. In the District of Columbia, Congress has plenary power over the people that live there. They have plenary power on the national government on certain things. Immigration. This is why Arizona lost when they tried to get involved in the immigration issue down there. Evidently, they didn't understand it. They have absolute plenary power on internal revenue, which is supposed to be import-exports tariffs, limited to those areas. They have absolute plenary power over commerce between the several states. That was one of the reasons why that they lacked in the Articles of Confederation. They couldn't figure out a way to tax and control the commerce between the states. That was one of the reasons why the Constitution of the United States was they came up with it. So now, in that 10-mile square, they have plenary power. Outside of the District of Columbia, they only have plenary power under the confines of the Constitution on land ceded, needful buildings, and all that stuff. They do not have plenary power within any of the several states outside of those land ceded. So, as stated in this case, okay, so now we have the 14th Amendment only applies to outside of the District of Columbia, to that citizen of the United States. So I said, well, are not the citizens of the United States within D.C.? Yep. In the confines of D.C., they are qualified electors. Whoa! Isn't that amazing? Because that's their proper status within the District of Columbia. And that's as it should be. There's no doubt about it. Okay? So, let's carry this a little farther. I said, well, okay. And I was doing some research today when I got back from, by the way, when I'm happy, this was a great day for Christians anyway, for the resurrection of the Son of the Creator. Not Easter. We're not after Astar or Istar or all the other rabbits and eggs and fertility and all that other nonsense. Boy, there's war on the Christians anymore. I tell you, it's like the Crusades all over again. They're killing them everywhere, including our liar in charge, our jihadist up there in charge in D.C. and all these other idiots. I don't know what the love is. I don't know why everybody's going after Islam. It just amazes me. But anyway, getting back, so now we have a 14th Amendment applies to the states, so they got to create a fictitious citizen of the United States. And we've got cases in this that the tax court adjudicates public rights. What the heck? That is not what I was told. That's absolutely, and then they say that it's exercising power. It's a court of law. What kind of law? I'm not saying the tax court adjudicates public rights. There's a Second Circuit. This is a 930 F2D 975. Second Circuit, 1991. Tax court is a classic example of a forum that adjudicates public rights. And there's other cases. I couldn't believe it. Of course, then I had to read all these cases on public rights, and I was very much aware of Babcock case, which is back in 1909, that says once you accept, when the United States creates rights against itself for an individual, you have no right to complain about anything. Shut up and do what they want. Back in a minute.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Well, I had a problem with breathing. When I stopped to do some walking, I had a problem. I had a heart attack, my second one. I take this pill and I feel great.
I had 3 bypass 10 years ago, and I was in bed almost 24 hours a day. Painkillers out of this world. I started taking this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all, and it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way it went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, "Don't stop taking it." I wouldn't do without it. It's unbelievable.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity.
Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Back here. So the 14th Amendment doesn't apply to the District of Columbia. It applies to the states. It says here in this case with the Supreme Court, the 14th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, which in terms operates to control the actions of the state. It does not purport to extend the authority exercised by the government of the United States. So the plenary power of the United States, Congress, and by the way, in D.C., they legislate statutes of the United States. They legislate laws of Congress, which is plenary power, or acts of Congress, which are plenary power of Congress. Do they teach this stuff? You've got to be kidding me. They don't teach this stuff at all. They just lie to us. Because we have to be very careful. There is the jurisdiction, plenary power within D.C. on what is given to Congress. There is the plenary power in the land ceded within the territorial boundaries of the several states that Congress has. And where is our protections? Our protection is supposed to be, being a citizen of New York or a citizen of Virginia, it's in the Constitution of one of the several states. It also says that the Bill of Rights 1 through 8 doesn't have application directly to us. What the hell? Yeah, right. It's a binding upon the people within the District of Columbia. They have direct access to the Bill of Rights. We do not. Even though they use it all the time through the 14th Amendment. And that is a discretionary thing. I can't remember the word. I got to go back and look at the Supreme Court. It's on the Second Amendment case. So our protection is in the Constitution of one of our several states, our Bill of Rights. It's a sovereign country, but combined in the Union of States. Each one of these several states are foreign to the other one, but they combine together under the Constitution of the United States. So our protection should be as a citizen of Virginia, citizen of New York. But they get us to all sign up as a citizen of the United States. The juries are that away in federal and in the state, Alaska. So they're getting me to agree that I want this case adjudicated under the public rights doctrine that says it is out, it's concerning the District of Columbia territories and possessions. And it's going to be adjudicated where I have no individual rights at all. None. Oh, and the UCC is going to be supreme in that world, too. Really? What the hell happened here? How did I get in this fix? This is amazing. So the 14th Amendment doesn't apply inside D.C., applies to me outside as a citizen of the United States. Now, how does a citizen of the United States, if you do the logic of the Declaration of Independence, it says, you know, we have inalienable rights from our Creator, right? So let's back up. You know that a citizen of the United States under the 14th Amendment is the same. The corporations have these same privileges and immunities. A fiction in law is the same as me. Now, does that not start to raise a we got a logic problem here? How does a corporation get privileges and immunities like I do? I thought I had individual rights under the Creator, and I guarantee you under the Declaration of Independence, they sure the hell weren't talking about corporations. They were talking about mankind on the land. Citizens of one of the several states. We have been hoodwinked. Oh, it gets better. So, the people that are inside of the district have direct access to the Bill of Rights. We do not. As a citizen of the United States. Outside, no. The ones inside do. That's what this case that says so. Gives you the Supreme Court cases. They've been telling us this stuff. We just haven't been listening, and it's not taught. They don't teach us this. They didn't teach me, and I was paying attention, and I've been doing this for quite a while, trying to figure this scam out. So my protection, our protection, if you're domiciled in one of the several states and not a resident, is in the Constitution of your state. This is our remedy to get out of this. There's two remedies to get out of this nonsense, this administrative nonsense. Because like in John's case and some other ones, the judge and the prosecutor said, you're a citizen of the United States. And they give everybody born is a citizen of the United States. You forgot to mention that when that citizen of the United States that I'm born in, you're adjudicating public rights, which says that I don't have any individual rights at all. I'm basically stateless. I'm homeless. I can't complain. I can't claim what's in the D.C. because you see in D.C. those people are qualified electors because that's the correct status. I can't claim that because I'm not domiciled. So they say, oh, by the way, you're a citizen of the United States and you're a resident of Alaska, a resident. Say, oh, I'm resident. I'm just passing through. Nice words. How about domiciled? They do not want to go there. So our remedy is, I want to be a qualified elector, registered voter. Register is a dangerous word. As a citizen of Alaska, of course, Alaska, we didn't even get a smell, but they're not going to go there. That's another uphill battle. But some of the lower 48, a lot of the lower 48, you did, at least before the Civil War. You want to be a citizen of the state. You want to be under the Constitution of Virginia, not the Constitution of the state of Virginia. That's another word game. The state of is the corporate side. Constitution of Virginia is the land constitutional side. So you want to be a citizen of Virginia under the Constitution of Virginia. I'm working up a thing here, how to get out of this thing. And this case tells us right here that I'm talking about. You have to put into the public record your complete status. And I'm working on it. It'll be out this next week. I had some other things that I had to get done. I had a reply brief and some other things that I had to draft up and let the person take a look at it because I'm not an attorney, not a counselor. Check everything out that I say. I'm trying to give you information with the documents to prove it. So you have to file that into the public record. Then you must modify in your state the application because they want you unknowingly and unwittingly to sign up. Some of them will say United States of America. That's fine. That is a traveling citizenship. Everybody that is naturalized is a citizen of the United States of America. And if you want to see that, just put in a naturalization or something, and I'll send out the document. I got one that I just put in, one that I redacted because it's illegal. It's a crime to look at one of these documents because we do not want to enlighten the people that we've been lied to. Citizen of the United States of America is fine, but you have to be domiciled in one of these several states. Claim that you want to be a citizen of Virginia and you are under the Constitution of Virginia and that's where you want to vote and you are not a citizen of the United States as enacted in 14 Stat 27 memorialized in the 14th Amendment. And that you are not, you totally reject and all the other, that you have accepted any benefit in the public rights doctrine. But you still have to be careful because you have to say under the law of necessity because we're in Babylon or we're in the Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, we can't totally get out, but we can extricate ourselves out of that world. And then we did this thing back on a registered voter thing and changed to citizen in Alaska. And I guess that's probably what happened. About 2 months later, all of a sudden, they quit taking out 15% of my social slavery. And I called them up and stuck my finger right in their eye, and they said, oh, we're going to take the money out. Never did do it. So we'll see. I don't know. So that is the way out of this system. But this is a mind twist. In D.C., they have direct access to the Bill of Rights, 1 through 8. We do not. If we are in domiciled in one of the several states, our protections in the Bill of Rights of one of the several states, in the Constitution of one of the several states. The 14th Amendment does not have any application to the people within the district. It has application to the states outside to control the slave issue, so they created a fictitious citizen of the United States under the Public Rights Doctrine. They don't tell you that part. And when you do that, you have no remedy except administrative. That's why in 1984, Justice White said in his dissenting opinion, the administrative state is one. Because all of these states have lined up, because where did the states lose their sovereignty at? 1913, 17th Amendment. A couple of months from the Federal Reserve Act. Isn't that just special? We're putting in an independent agency outside the government called the Federal Reserve to handle our money. And at the same time, within a couple of months in 1913, we created, somebody did, the 17th Amendment said, you, the several states, no longer want to be, have your, because the several states, the Senate is the representative side of the several states. It is not the people. They surrendered it. In 1913. So the several states no longer have any standing to bitch. They have no standing. What's going on? 17th Amendment needs to be repealed. Our several states need to be putting back, the legislatures of the several states need to be electing the senators. Then if we don't like what one of these senators are doing up there, we can go after the local folks, and we have a chance of getting rid of them. What's the chance of getting rid of these guys that are out there at the federal level that got more money than Carter's got Liverpool? Almost none. It's almost impossible to get them out. And they're not bound. See, that's the thing. It's amazing when you start to understand the scam that's going on. There's two ways to get out of the system. And we're going to be pushing them both. I guarantee you. And I'm going to get to that here in a minute. But, you see, Mr. Obama, that slimy liar in charge, I can't think of enough words, a barbarian, jihadist, I mean, he's going to get us into a nuclear war. Maybe he's I'll be the Antichrist, but he's sure the heck making a damn good application for it. He's an avatar of Lucifer anyway. Can he make statements like, I can't legislate law? And can he get around and make statements, I can't legislate law by executive order? Absolutely. Both are true. Isn't that amazing? Did they teach us this? No. The President of the United States has no authority to make laws of the United States, known as statutes also of the United States. He has no authority to do that. He does have the authority under the Federal Register Act of 1935, where he is deemed an agency, to make executive orders. He's making law in the administrative state. And he's making it, he can do it under the, within the constitutional side of life, and outside, of course, he does it in the administrative state. He publishes it in the Federal Register. And then Congress can up or down it in the Federal Register. That is the check and balance. Congress in that Federal Register were being ruled by legal notice, where the president, by executive order, make laws. Now, the agencies can do that also. They publish in the Federal Register, but it was getting out of control. So FDR got around and had the government research it in 1937. It only took 2 years, and he said, man, I'm losing my stroke here. He loved his agencies, his New Deal. And they come out with a headless fourth branch of government. And they finally, in 1946, got through the Logan Act of 1940. They kicked back because it didn't define subsidy rigs. So in 1946, they said, agencies, if you're going to reach back into the Republic and grab you and me, you must go through, you can go through the land of Oz making regulations, but there are different types. There's their procedural regulations, like Part 601 for IRS. They don't have any application to us. They lie. Oh, we're going to do all this stuff, but you can't use it. They have Part 301 regulations. They're interpreting statutes. They don't have any force and effect of law. The only minor issue, they can give deference to them if some statute is unclear, but they won't stand the test. They do all kinds of interpretive regs, which are Part 301, administrative and procedural, Part 301s. So we have interpretive, procedural, all these stuff. Substantive regs, legislative, is the only one that they can reach back in and grab us. That's it. That's the other way out of this administrative state. Is when they create something that is binding, that judge in Texas, like I say, that Judge Hannon, H-A-N-E-N, and whoever's writing it, probably the Attorney General for Texas seems to be, Texas seems to have somebody down there that's got some brains and the guts to do something about it, and 25 other states, Alaska, is still sitting on the sidelines with their thumb up their tush. They said if something is binding, if something the agency has no discretion, what are we describing? We're describing a statute of the United States. So you are legislating, which he put, you're legislating by regulation to control us. Then you are bound when you go into the land of Oz on the yellow brick road. You can't bypass the part about you have to get around and do under a subsidy or legislative subsidy. It's a subsidy regulation or legislative rule, Chrysler v. Brown. There's a certain process for you to legislate, just like Congress has a process. They're supposed to vote on both sides, get a simple majority, and send it up to our liar in charge. And if it comes back, then they get a veto and they get two-thirds majority. Well, the legislature, these agencies have the same thing. We're not taught this stuff. I guarantee you, I wasn't anyway. I don't know about you. Called a subsidy rig. Well, this is what Texas and Hansen said. Hey, you're creating something that's binding. That's a law. There's no agency discretion, basically. That's another law. Whoever's implementing it, the executive, they don't have any discretion. We're talking about a law, a real binding law of the United States, something similar to that. Except it's a different way of making it in the administrative state. And he said, hey, you're not going to get away with this. Well, what did Obama do? He lied, said it's an executive order. He did not file an executive order. Back in a minute. We're going to continue on with this.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Whew, nice shooting.
Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
Come to Finca Bayano, a small community in Panama, which is being established for people who believe that a future crisis may be difficult to survive in North America after a collapse of the system. Go to bugoutpanama.com for more information. There is limited space for 100 people only. Go to bugoutpanama.com to immigrate as long as you can. Prepare. Don't despair at bugoutpanama.com.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's
888-311-4311. Okay, we're back here. So, and I've got to go into Texas. So, why is that case so important in Texas? Because if it's binding, which is a definition of something of a statute, right? If it's a real true law of the United States or law of one of the several states, it's binding, right? Whoever's going to implement it, there's no discretion. They can't say, oh, no, we're not going to shoot, because that's finding a law. It can't be a policy. That's just what you'd like to have, but it's not what there can't be a guideline, which Judge Hannon went into great detail on. It's got to be binding. There's no discretion. Basically no discretion, because you got to be careful dealing with agencies. And if that is true, then you must proceed through the notice and demand of the 1946 Administrative Procedure Act to make legislative rules that have the forced effect of law. This is the way agencies make law, to reach back and grab us. Oh, ain't this, isn't this just damn special? So they have to do a proposed regulation. They have to say they're going to do it under 553B, which is for a subsidy regulation. We're going to make something that's actually going to be binding. And the agency will not have discretion. They have to say, we will accept comments. And you also have the right to petition if you don't like the rule that they're proposing. Now, who is going to get around and read all that freaking nonsense in the Federal Register? There's literally hundreds of them damn things every week up there published in the Federal Register. That's the way they make, that's the first step called the proposed rule. Then they have to come back and do another called a final rule and say we're making a legislative rule, which is our subsidy regulation under 553B. The IRS, by the way, puts that in there and just says, hell no, we're not doing it. They're proud of it because we don't know. Then they have to address all the comments. They don't have to abide by the comments. They just have to address them. Then they're supposed to allow 30 days to implement it to give us time because, oh, I'm sure everybody gets up every day and says, oh, let me check the Federal Register and see what these agencies are up to. You betcha. Mm-hmm. Then we're supposed to wait 30 days. Usually they say, no, we're not going to do that either. Now, what's the only catch? The Congressional Review Act, within 6 months, Congress can turn around and say, oh, by the way, we're not going to allow you to do that. And the Senate has to get a simple majority. There's been a few people try it. Our rhino up here, Murkowski, tried it on the EPA. Well, they made carbon monoxide poisonous, and she couldn't get the votes. And the EPA gal said, no, go to hell. Talking to a senator. They know. Now, we have a Senator Sullivan that understands, has taken on the EPA once, and he did a hearing with, and I saw the audio of it. He politely, in the political terms, told her to get in line with the regulatory power. They don't have it. He understands subsidy regulations. First politician ever that I've ever talked to that understands it. And he's taking this to court. Now, whether he'll get stand and fight, I don't know. But he's only one guy. So, the only two ways you can get out of this system is what they're doing is affecting our, and this is comes out of the Chrysler V, it's affecting our individual rights and obligations. If whatever they're doing affects our individual rights and obligations, and you have to get around and take the damn thing to court and force it. Now, there's no test for any of this stuff to see if it'll pass muster. It's up to us. Isn't that amazing?